We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Now, from Learfield.
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. Here is your host, Dave Hunziker.
Dave Hunziker with John Holcomb as we get ready for the Liberty Bowl. And, you know, there are some who think that if you just look at it from an all-around standpoint, you know, in terms of ability on offense and defense, Missouri's not far off from being almost as good as any team the Cowboys have played this year. And I don't know if they're obviously quite to the level of Oklahoma, but I'd say with everybody else, they're right up there. This is a good team, and a couple of possessions, a couple of, you know, breaks away from winning 10 games.
Yeah, and David, all starts, what do all highly successful college football teams have? They have a really good quarterback.
And they've got
that. It has
to
start there, and Drew Locke is exactly that. He's a young man who's experienced success at every level. He's cut down on his interceptions this year, and it plays with the purpose of proving that he is what he was told he wasn't last year, and that is that he can play at the next level in the NFL. He's got a lot of friends at that level who went pro last year, and he kind of felt like, wow, that maybe should have been me. So he's been playing with a purpose this year.
You know, and it's interesting, Drew Locke, in the eyes of some experts, could be the top quarterback taken in the NFL draft. He's got a rocket arm. But talking to the Missouri people, he's an interesting story. He was not a guy like a lot of guys you see that focused just on football. When football season was over in Lee's Summit, Missouri, he played basketball. And so his learning process from a football standpoint has evolved as he's been in college, and I think that's one of the reasons he came back. He needed to know more about the game, how defenses work, to be able to react quickly. He's benefited from that. And the thing is, he's got an offensive line with him that I think has a combined 147 career starts. I think they only gave up 13 sacks this year. But Locke's an interesting story. A lot different than football players you see today, but in the mold of something Mike Gundy, in many cases, really admires. A guy that was a multi-sport athlete, and you can see why he's been successful pretty much at anything he does.
I think that evaluation he got last year really stung him, and part of it was it suggested he's not athletic enough. Now, you can try to prove that too much. But if he plays within himself against the Cowboys, are going to have a hard time with him. But if you can get some pressure on him, or if he feels the need to prove in a bowl game setting that he can run the ball, like not necessarily a dual threat guy, but if more of a dual threat, then he could run himself into some issues.
Yeah, here's the thing that interests me. There have been some who believe that to some extent Missouri offensively and how they block for the run game can be like Boise. Oklahoma State completely shut Boise down in the run game with linebackers darting in and out of the backfield. Jordan Brailford had a heyday in that game. Boise couldn't run the ball at all. What's the difference between Missouri's offensive line and Boise's? I'm really not certain, but it'll be interesting to watch that part of it because Missouri still, with Drew Locke, is a team that throws it about 46% of the time and runs at 54%. That part of it is interesting to me. You know, can Oklahoma State schematically cause problems for Missouri in the run game? I think that's a key piece.
And I think if Missouri obviously would know about those comparisons with Boise, and then Missouri would also know that Brailford lined up all over the place and just had a field day that day. So if they key on him, who's another guy? A guy that comes to mind for me, and it may not look quite the same, but a guy like Devin Harper could end up having a big game. You know, or if you get so caught up in Brailford and where he lines up, if you're Missouri, then you're forgetting about Jarrell Owens. You know, guys who are playing their last game for OSU, guys you would figure will be highly motivated to have success in this game to prove that, you know, some of the stuff that happened during the season was not really who you are. But that gets to the core of the issue to begin with, is who's more motivated, who really wants to play, who really wants to come out of there with a win.
Yeah, and that's bowl games are all about that. Who's the most motivated team? You know, as far as Missouri's concerned, they finished the year with four straight wins. They played a really difficult early season SEC schedule early on. They saw both Georgia and Alabama. Those were two of their losses. Lost a close game to South Carolina. And really, in the eyes of Missouri fans, they felt like they just got a raw deal against Kentucky. That's a game they felt like they did win, but there was a controversial play at the end of that game. Trust me, I've talked to my Mizzou friends about that. I've heard that a million times. You know, we won that Kentucky game. We're 9-3, actually. Yeah. But at any rate, these things happen. So the motivation thing is everything. For Oklahoma State, as you and I have talked about some, I'm intrigued to see there's been a lot that's gone on this year, not just the up-and-down season, but you've had several players that have left, some during the season, some after the season. The collective wear and tear of that frightens me because those things take a toll on the team. We'll see how it goes on Monday. I'm fascinated to see how Missouri plays Oklahoma State defensively. Missouri plays a fair amount of man coverage. The man concepts against TCU were problematic as the Cowboys really struggled on offense. And so what's that do? I'll be honest. I think Taylor Cornelius, I think he needs to be able to run the ball. I think that's a huge part to this game. He needs to be effective as a runner to some extent perhaps and designed run concepts. I think that's big. I think it's really big.
I totally agree with you there, Dave, because you go man, you're focused on one guy. And if you've got vertical route concepts, if you're OSU, those defenders have their back totally to whatever the quarterback is doing. They're focused on their man, and it becomes that numbers game that we talk about all the time. And Taylor's good enough, even if he isn't a Chuba Hubbard sprinter type of guy, we've seen it. He's good enough to make you pay if you're going to do that. So we'll see. You know, the other thing about it, this is you've got so much time before this bowl game for a 6-6 team and an 8-4 team. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, there are always two or three of these matchups where they aren't the elite bowls late in the year. But it's interesting. What you said just sparked something. I'm kind of going back a little bit. But your friends, everybody's saying Missouri is or should be 9-3. They're not 8-4. And it's been in print out there, too, that the disappointment of ending up in a bowl like this. And that can sometimes cut back the other way in terms of the motivation for, we should be somewhere else anyway. Sometimes that plays with guys.
I'll tell you what, though. I think in Missouri's case, it's different because you've got a first-time head coach, Barry Odom, who was, at the time when he was hired, someone that caught a lot of people off guard. He'd only been defensive coordinator at Missouri for 1 year. Now, he played at Missouri and had been on the staff. He is still trying to establish himself and dig his roots in as a head coach. Nothing against Coach Gundy. As far as he's concerned, every game matters tremendously as he gains credibility as a head coach. Again, it's not that Coach Gundy is not important to him, but for Barry Odom, it's like, hey, I am still building my brand. I've got to make darn sure my players are locked and loaded for every single game. There can be absolutely no letdown. It's not to say Coach Gundy isn't that way, but for Barry Odom, he's at a different point in his career than Coach Gundy is. And as a result, I would be surprised if Missouri's flat. I would be really surprised if they're flat. And hopefully the Cowboys won't be either. I'd be a little bit surprised if the Cowboys are. But if they were, we probably know why. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see. Told the practices have been good. But I don't see Missouri being flat because of the circumstances with their head coach and the fact that he is still, you know, digging his roots in. And proving himself as a head coach, and he's had good success the last 2 years, Barry Odom.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And if a snapshot that circulated through social media at the Grizzlies game at halftime when they presented the coaches with the jerseys, Memphis Grizzlies jerseys, is any indication, Odom already had his game face on.
He's that way. Yeah, he's that kind of guy.
Somebody said it looked like he realized he'd just eaten a bad cheeseburger, but it looked like a game face to me.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It'll be fun. We're looking forward to it on the air at 12:30 on Monday. If you're listening now, it'll be, of course, New Year's Eve, and we'll kick off at 2:45. That's the Cowboy Insider. I'm Dave Hunziker, and we'll talk to you Monday.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.